Hutchinson crouches under center, takes the snap, pressure, it's hit! Breaks away, but he's hit again! Inca Nadell had him all bottled up, somebody jumped over the pile, and made sure to put him on the ground. Mike Peterson got him. Hutchinson under center, finding the noise, watches as the safety street puck. His play action, under pressure, hit, sack, safety! Darryl Smith, the rookie from Georgia Tech.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Mike Dempsey.
Hi, glad you're along with us on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, Jaguars Today. We're a mobile unit. We're back at 1010XL World Headquarters this morning.
It's great to have you back here.
Thank you. I'm sure.
I get to see your beautiful face in the monitor in front
of
me.
You're so full of crap. I'm not even going to get into the latest reason why we're down there. We're in the omelet-making stage. As you know, you say we're cracking some eggs right now, and apparently they're getting cracked all over the studio down the.
That's a good way to put it.
At the JOI studio, I talked with Joe Fortunato. I don't think I'm spilling any company secrets here on this. Mark Lamping, president of your Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, Joe saw Mark, I guess, last week, and we were out of the studio, and Joe, you know, kind of made reference to the fact that a lot of ceiling tiles. Sorry about the appearance of the studio. There are a lot of ceiling tiles missing. We've had some issues with it leaking. And he said Mark Lamping's reaction was almost one of glee, like, yes, it's progress. Things are happening. Construction is happening. We are working on those suites.
Optimism.
Let's be honest. Nobody cares. Well, I could be sitting here right now, Tyler, in a swarm of bees stinging me over and over and over. And all anybody wants to know is what the hell's the question of the day, right? They shut up and give me the question of the day.
The Tom Bush Motors question.
The Tom Bush Motors question of the day, which we will get to here momentarily. I kind of preemptively went with one because Hacker came in telling me how terrific that the People versus O.J. Simpson is. Absolutely
by
terrific.
By the way, before that 10 a.m., it was 9:59. Hacker, T-Wig, Andrew, and Joe C. were all here.
That is weird.
Before 10 o'clock. That's never happened.
Something's brewing. I should have noticed. When T-Wig came in, I was like, huh.
That's odd.
When Joe came in, I really should have known something was wrong. What the hell is Joe Coward doing here 2 hours before showtime? But Hacker's right. People versus O.J. Simpson was terrific. And the finale was last night. I had already seen it, but I watched it again last night, so it's fresh in my mind. It was weird the other day watching it. I've got this FX screener deal, and I was able to play ahead for a week or two, you know?
Now, let's hold off on spoilers. I haven't seen the final. I haven't seen the finale.
Not guilty.
Ooh.
Sorry.
Is that a spoiler?
Yeah, that's
you ruined it for me.
That's the big one. Sorry.
Well, I'm not black. I'm OJ.
I know, OJ. 21 years, man. Sorry. 21 years. It's got to be. I haven't even talked about Walking Dead and what they did to us on Sunday night yet for the last 3 days. But 21 years have passed since OJ's verdict came down. 20 and a half, something like that. So I think that's fair game.
Have we heard about the knife that was found a few weeks ago? Have they ran tests?
They have. Nothing. No connection.
No connection.
To the crime whatsoever.
Okay.
Glad we sat on that for 2 decades. Right? Just in case, right? Because, hey, you know, this probably would have gotten him off or convicted one or the other. He's fine. OJ's going to be just fine. Oh, wait. He's in prison for 30 years. He's not going to be fine. Well, that's good. At least he's going to be fine as far as this verdict goes. Oh, wait. The Goldman still owes him $33.5 million.
Maybe he'll write another book in jail.
Guessing no. If he just dropped the if and just wrote, I did it, and then there wouldn't be anything inside because everyone already knows you did it. But anyway, I thought it was a well-done miniseries. I enjoyed it. And so today we're asking, I think about, you're a young guy, Tyler. You were born in 92, you say?
Correct.
So yep. you were not even aware of this OJ thing going on when it went on, right?
No.
Couldn't have been, right?
No recollection.
You were like 3 years old when the verdict came down. Everyone seems to remember where they were when the white Bronco chase took place because it coincided with, I believe it was game 5 of the NBA Finals.
It took over the coverage, the live coverage.
It knocked it right
on. They butted in, right?
I remember where I was at a sports bar in downtown DeLand back, I guess, were we done with summer or were we into summer? I don't know. I was in DeLand drinking with the boys, watching the game, whatever the case may be. I remember where I was. Don't remember the exact date, but it comes up every year. But I also remember where I was when the verdict came down because I happened to be in a mass communications class at Flagler College, and our mass communications teacher thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to bring a TV in here in case the verdict comes down. It came down awfully quick. It was like 4.5 hours. I didn't remember how quickly they deliberated on the whole thing.
October 3rd, 1995.
October, right, is when the verdict came down.
Correct.
But yes. I remember because I was in a class and we all watched it in class together. And so I remember being there and, you know, we're taking a mass communications class and we're talking about communications and the impact of media on this whole situation. So it was very pertinent to what we were doing at the time. And that's what we talked about in class.
We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information.
And that was, I believe, was that count one of the information? Because also, obviously, not guilty in Ron Goldman. I think they actually read the Goldman verdict first last night. I'm not sure. But anyway, to question the day, now that we've hemmed and hawed around it, is brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships. Do you remember where you were? Where were you, in fact, when the OJ verdict came down? Now, there are going to be a lot of people, the millennial types, the Tyler Devitt age folks.
I think I was in a sandbox somewhere.
All right, so you're in a sandbox. In October, you would have been in a sandbox in October, you think?
Probably inside, actually, in a gym, maybe in a little playpen.
Because in Indiana, it's like 13 degrees in October, right?
It gets cold real fast.
Right, so all right. So where were you today? We'll ask you on that. But also, I think we could have a little bit of fun with the draft stuff as well. I'd love to come up with a comprehensive list of terms when it comes to the NFL draft, the things that either fascinate you or bug you. We all know, you know, some of the ones, like he plays in a telephone booth and, you know, just, you know, great motor is one of the classic ones, which often is used to describe a guy who maybe isn't as talented, but darn, he tries hard, right? Running the arc. I don't want to know what it is, but you can include that. So if you have a favorite or a most annoying draft term, however you want to look at it, because it's all kind of the same thing.
Plays with really good length on the line of scrimmage.
There you go. That's one, Gus. Gus likes length as well. There's two. Everyone's. How do you. Really? He plays with really good length on the line of scrimmage.
Well, he backs off the line of scrimmage.
What does that
mean?
He stands there with his hands held high above his head. And or does that mean he's extending his arms to jam a receiver? He was talking about a DB in that clip, right?
That was Gus on Prince Amukamara at this.
Plays with great length at the line of scrimmage.
Exactly.
Prince does. So now we
know. Looking forward to seeing that on Sundays next year.
Now we know the key reason that he was brought in here to Jacksonville. By the way, this Pro Football Focus 3-round mock, is this hot off the presses?
Hot off the press, just released by Steve Palazzolo.
It is Palazzolo, isn't it? Man. I would have gone with Palazzo, but it's Palazzolo.
Well, Mike, I am a professional communicator.
Is that right? You're a broadcast professional. All right, and he's got Jalen Ramsey. They have Jalen Ramsey. Whatever, however you want to look at it, going number one overall. We'll get to that. We got mock draft fest today. National Football Post put out their first mock draft of the season last night. Mel Kiper's got his latest update. We'll see where he has the Jags going. I think if you listen to the drill, they told you right there towards the end of the show. But we'll take a peek at some of those. Text line open to you today at 641-1010. The text line driven by Duval Ford. That's also the phone-in line. If you watched the miniseries and give us your thoughts on that, I thought it was well done. I enjoyed it. Again, I was maybe the perfect age. I don't know. I'm in college, and I'm watching it. It's on TV constantly. I absorbed a ton of the OJ trial. It wasn't like a housewife. Those housewives were really into it. You guys were sitting home watching every second of that trial throughout the course of the day. But what did you think about the miniseries? I thought it was outstanding. What did you like? What didn't you like? How closely did it follow your remembrance of the events? And there's some artistic liberties taken in that. But where were you when the OJ verdict came down, if you remember that? I think everybody who was alive and aware at the time remembers the white Bronco chase. I wonder how many people remember when the actual verdict came down of not guilty in the OJ case. We'll discuss that today. Crazy draft terms, mock draft, a palooza day, and a lot more. All right, somebody was surfing in Puerto Rico when the verdict came out. Hashtag where is Tony? Tony's at the Masters. It's where he is. And he's going to the par 3 contest. What time does that start today? Is that usually around noon, or is that underway already? They get underway? What is it? It's a 9-hole par 3 deal. We should call Tony. Tony never answers his phone when he's in Jacksonville. He's not going to answer us when he's at Augusta National.
I wonder how many pimento and cheese sandwiches Tony's had.
You know, I was going to give him $5 and tell him to treat himself to a couple because they're cheap. And I forgot because I'm cheap.
Par 3 starts at 3 o'clock today on ESPN.
Oh, not till 3 o'clock.
Not till 3.
I wonder if you just, what you do, like, is he going there? Is he cruising around? Maybe we should call him. Maybe he's not at the course yet. We'll find out.
Maybe he's hanging out with Jim Nance.
Hello, friends. All right, so it's Wednesday. It's brought to you by Metro Rooter. We call it Jaguars today. Stick around, and we'll try to entertain and inform you for the next 2 hours right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're along with us. Glad Metro Rooter has been along with us ever since we started Jaguars today up, and even before then, been one of my primary sponsors here. MetroRooter.com, 695-1911. If you have plumbing issues, don't have them. Don't settle for plumbing issues. Metro Rooter will solve them for you. They've been doing that since 1978. I trust them. You can too. Metro Rooter Wednesday, 641-1010. That is our phone number here on Jaguars today. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. Quick one or two on the text line. Let me get to these phones here. I was surfing in Puerto Rico. I told you that one when the verdict came out. Another one. Let's see. I was in computer class at Switzerland Point Middle School. Sorry, mine wasn't cooler than that. I didn't think mine was all that cool. I was in another class in college, you know, but that's where you were. I'm just curious if people remember that. That one's from Dusty with love, as he sent. I appreciate the love, Dusty. Have you seen the private investigator who said it was O.J.'s son from his first wife? He was a chef and had a set of knives. He's also in and out of mental health. Honestly, I think O.J. killed him, okay? I think O.J. killed him. But the only theory that's held any kind of credibility, like, wow, that actually made me think for a second, was one that his eldest son, did it, and that the DNA would match, and that's why it was one in however many, you know, unless you're directly related to that person. I don't remember all the RFLPA and all the different things that went on with the DNA. I may be fudging the actual facts, but that seemed to be the only one that had any kind of plausible to it. That's kind of interesting. So I have heard that. I doubt it's the case. But I think O.J. did it. I think he's being punished for something else. But, you know, in the end, justice mostly prevailed, although, you know, he still has a lot of money in that civil suit. Wish he had to pay it. Weird draft terms. Got a bunch of them coming in. Flip his hips. That's one. You got to flip your hips if you're a DB. Got to be able to turn and run. Got to flip the hips. All right, be smooth. Now, Larry is an officer of the law here in the fine county of Duval, city of Jacksonville, and I believe he was a cop out in Los Angeles back in the 90s, and he's going to weigh in on his remembrances of the verdict coming down. This is again, it's not the anniversary of it, but the People versus O.J. Simpson was a pretty compelling 10-episode run, I thought. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I think a lot of other people who watch it as well that I talked to did as well, and it just got me thinking last night. You remember where you were when the verdict came down. Let's talk with Larry next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Larry. How are you, sir?
What's up, MD?
What's up, buddy? I'm great, man.
Good. Hey, listen, man. Yeah, I was actually here on the department here when the verdict came out. And I remember the only big thing for us at the time was they were just a little worried that, you know, there may be what the fallout would be as far as maybe some rioting and stuff. We weren't really worried about it, but I remember there was a bulletin coming out. I think we did some recall numbers just to make sure everybody was ready in case there was some kind of civil unrest. But I was actually a police officer in Santa Monica, California, in the late 80s, early 90s, and got to ride through the Rodney King era there. When the actual riots occurred, I actually was in Jacksonville on leave, so that worked out perfectly for me. But it was the social climate is really weird because it's kind of the same way that people kind of feel about the police right now. There's a lot of distrust, unwarranted for the most part, but you could certainly understand, you know, and the public was very, very separated as far as sentiments for, you know, trust for white police officers and things. So it's weird how things kind of come back around.
It is interesting, Larry. And I know you say that, and I think that the people I've had interaction with on various police forces, you know, just doing this job and stuff, they seem like people that really care about making a difference and they have their heart in the right place. Clearly, there are bad people in every profession, and when there are bad people in a profession that has power attached to it, you're going to have bad consequences sometimes. And so I'm not trying to minimize anybody who's had difficult, you know, run-ins that they shouldn't have had with law enforcement. But I do think most of you guys, you know, at least the ones I've come across, do their best to, you know, uphold the job with dignity and honor in the way it was meant to be. So kudos to you for your service, buddy. We appreciate the call today.
I appreciate it, man. The series was outstanding, though, by the way. They did a great job of casting that. I actually knew Chris Darden.
Did you now?
The guy that they cast it for him was actually...
It could have been his twin, right? I mean, really.
And I'm telling you, the guy that did Ron Goldman's dad, I wouldn't have been able to tell you which one was the actor.
I would not have been able to either. He was probably the most eerie one out of the whole thing. So, all right, good stuff, man. Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
Take care. We'll see you.
In fact, in the whole thing, Cuba Gooding Jr. is probably the one who took you kind of out of the moment more than anything else, because he is not OJ, right?
He's a little scrawny guy.
Travolta playing Robert Shapiro was amazing, because size-wise, I don't think they're anything close to each other. And you know, the whole litany. I thought most of the actors were very, very well cast. It's not that Cuba Gooding Jr. didn't do a good job. He's a pretty iconic guy. You know what he looks like. We know you don't look like him, and you don't particularly sound like him. So whatever. I thought he did fine, though.
Marcia Clark, that was a dead ringer.
Yeah, she was very good. And honestly, I was watching the other night like they were showing the real thing. This was a couple nights ago. They're showing the real thing, and you know, like the final stages of the trial kind of coincide probably with the series finale last night. And let's just say she was similar looking to Marcia Clark. What is her name? Sarah Paulson, I think, is the actress, right? Sarah Paulson, I give her the edge. Let's just put it that way. Marcia Clark, I'm sure she's a fine legal mind. And she wasn't, you know, she was maybe courtroom hot at best, right? Not really. Incredibly sexist comment right there. We talk about how Christopher Darden looks. You know, he all looked great in his suit. I thought fantastic.
Now, have you seen ESPN's putting out their own little O.J. Simpson series?
I think I've caught wind of this. How is theirs going to differ from the star-studded cast that we have right now? Is this going to be more of a documentary?
ESPN says it's a 5-part documentary coming in June about the rise and fall of O.J., and it's entitled O.J., Made in America.
Made in America, baby. Let's go to Ian on the north side. He wants to talk crazy draft terms. It's kind of an eclectic day. Good morning, Ian. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Mike. You know, you being a parent, you can probably definitely relate to this. You know, anytime the younger generation has terms or basically anything that they think is cool, and then grown-ups grab a hold of it, it's automatically not cool anymore.
Totally not cool anymore. No question.
Yeah. Well, I kind of feel that feeling when you know, you hear the Todd McShays or something, you know, they're standing around on the field, they hear the players talk, and then they translate that stuff to TV, and it automatically just feels like the 30-year-old that's still going to keg parties, and it just makes me laugh.
Yeah, so you, it's not necessarily a specific term, it's more about the feeling of them trying to fit in with the lingo and seem hipper than they are.
Exactly, and I find it hilarious.
I got you, bro, and trust me, I'm so not the hip dad. It's not even funny out there. Yesterday, one of our kids at soccer practice, he just starts going, "Watch me whip." This kid's like 11 years old.
Hey, whipping nae-nae.
He's doing the whip. He's doing the nae-nae. And I'm like, I honestly, if you did him in front of me right now, I think I might be able to identify the whip. Not sure. JJ, what's that nae-nae look like? Give me a quick, come on, dude. Give me. Is that the whip?
I think he was whipping out the monkey.
That was whip out the monkey?
The whip is like where you like kind of, this is terrible radio, by the way, because they can't see what we're
right,
doing.
But you explain what you're doing. You pantomime like you were driving a car in a movie.
It's like taking a steering wheel from left to right.
Right, where the car never actually moves in the lane, but they're all over the place with the steering wheel,
absolutely.
You know, those movies right there.
So that's the whip, and then when you nae-nae, it's kind of, you just put your hand up and you take a little couple steps back, you know?
Just a couple steps back, you're just...
Yeah, so you know, speaking about...
going back away.
We were talking about weird draft terms, and I actually have Allen Robinson's draft profile from 2014.
Oh, this will will be chock full of weird draft terms.
Let's go over some weaknesses for Allen Robinson in his draft profile coming in 2014. Catch radius, I don't see that on his radar yet, but his weakness is lacks elite top-end speed.
Okay, well, that's pretty normal.
That's normal. Needs double
move. Wait, but does that mean he cannot take the top off the defense?
Oh, that's very important.
See, I think that qualifies in a vague roundabout way. It makes you think about a crazy draft term.
Occasionally tracking and leaping timing are off.
Occasionally tracking and leaping time. All right, so his timing of his leaps are off. I don't think that's too outside the norm. Or what else? Anything else?
Traps throws against his body, which that's not bad. All these are actually pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty straightforward.
Tends to cradle throws and go down to the ground. Swings ball loosely as a runner.
The old loaf of bread. By the way, who ever carried a loaf of bread like that? Seriously, who's swinging a loaf of bread out to the side like this? Where did that come from?
You're going to ruin your
How
loaf
do they
of bread.
Used to try? Because the loaf of bread thing's been around for a long time. How did you old people used to carry your bread? Is what I need to know. Seriously, who carries their bread like this? They're like, I used to carry it out there like a loaf of bread and swinging it around. Who do you not? I mean, seriously, first of all, if you get a loaf of bread, put it in the plastic bag so you don't have to hold it by like the twist tie area and stretch the whole bread out. And kind of squeeze it. I don't want my bread all squeezed up. It's okay. You can reuse the plastic bag for something else later, okay? Anything else on Allen Robinson? He was pretty straightforward.
That was pretty straightforward. Let me go find some Allen Hurns. Right, I know Allen Hurns may be a little more critical.
You know what? We just need to go to any one of the many myriad websites we enjoy right now and just read a current draft profile on somebody. And we'll be talking about his bubble. Does he have a tight bubble? Is that one? I think that's in there somewhere. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. And look, don't get me wrong. I love the draft, right? I can only imagine the torture it is for people that are like, can we please just get to 3 weeks from now when we'll actually have new players and stop talking about this? No, we cannot. The time will never pass.
I got Jalen Ramsey, and there's some good draft nuggets.
All right, you
in
hold
this
that. Hold the nuggets, off. Because Jalen Ramsey was in town yesterday. Joey Bosa was in town. Miles Jack was in town. They sat down with some of the fine folk over at Jaguars.com. We'll give you a little preview, a few snippets of what they had to say about why the Jags should draft them. And then we encourage you to go to Jaguars.com and listen in for the behind-the-scenes video profiles. Plus, you've got several other guys in here today. Who is here? Robert Condici is in town.
Possibly Noah Spence as well. We don't know a date, but Ian Rappaport said he'd be in this week.
We heard that yesterday. I also saw, in addition to that, Von Bell of Ohio State here today. Leonard Floyd of Georgia, the outside linebacker, rush linebacker, and Clemson safety. Jayron Kearse, who we heard about yesterday, coming in as well.
Now, that's Javon Kearse's nephew, right?
Is it?
I believe so.
Is he a freak as well?
I hope he's a freak if we draft him.
Look. You talk about Kearse, the freak, the original freak. That guy, what did he have, 17 sacks as a rookie, something like that? I mean, at least by his second year, he was high teens in sacks. He was double. I'll say he had 13 his first year, 17 his second year. What you got?
14.5 his rookie year.
14.5, what do you have his second year?
11.5 and 10, and then he never reached double digits again.
14.5 was his high watermark.
His rookie year best year sack-wise.
I thought he went up. I guess not. I thought he went up in his second year and then kind of tailed off.
And never had a double-digit sack year after his first three.
So he had 14.5, 11.5, and 10. And then what do you have in year four?
Two.
And how many games did he play, though?
He only played four games.
Okay, so he was injured.
He was hurt.
Would you take that if I told you you're going to get a double-digit sack guy for the next 3 years? And when you consider, and I know everyone's like, no, we're going to draft Miles Jack. He's going to be our linebacker for the next 12 years. Or we're going to get Jalen Ramsey. He's going to the Pro Bowl for the next decade. That's great. Maybe he will. Maybe he won't, right? Maybe they won't be there. Maybe they will. There are plenty of busts that go there. Would you take a guy that you knew was going to get, say, 40 sacks in his first 3 years and then maybe would get injured or his career would go downhill? What is 40 sacks in 3 years worth to you? Because that's roughly in the neighborhood that he was in, a little bit less than 40 sacks. But we'll say you get 40 out of your first 3 years. Would you invest the fifth pick in the draft on that if you knew you'd get three double-digit sack seasons out of a guy? I don't know. The GMs don't think like that. They want the guys that are going to be around long-term. All these hypotheticals. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do with them? All right, we'll come back. We'll play some of that audio for you from Jaguars.com. And, again, we encourage you to go listen into the full little behind-the-scenes look that they've posted up there with a number of the top draft prospects out there, and we'll get into a little bit of Jalen Ramsey's scouting profile. Where were you when the O.J. verdict came down? Do you remember the verdict coming down? I'm actually surprised. Some people say they don't remember the white Bronco chase, but they do remember where they were when the verdict came down. That's our Tom Bush Motors question of the day. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey here with you. Fat Tony up at Augusta. Tyler Devitt along as well. Jaguars today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Tom Brady. Like to crush him one or two times.
That's Joey Bosa. He wants to crush Tom Brady one or two times. How about Andrew Luck? All right. How about Marcus Mariota? Or Brock Osweiler?
Tear off that neck beard one or two times.
Yeah.
Just rip it off.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Short answer, to the point. That's what he wants to get after. I would have, maybe if you're Bosa, said anyone who's lining up across from me. I hate them all equally. I don't know. It's a little too politically correct. Speaking of which, I think someone's accusing me of being that. On the text line.
Wait, someone's accusing you of being politically correct.
I don't know. Perhaps. They said, come on, Mike. Police will treat you better than a black motorist. Let's be real here. A black motorist would be interrogated way more at a traffic stop than a white motorist. I'm not disputing that. I just can't say that when I talk about my experience with police officers, I haven't been pulled over very often. Okay, I'm not talking about that. That's one thing, and that is, you're certainly right. Look, there are stories out there. I'm not saying that that black motorists or black people have not been treated differently in this country. Clearly they have, in many regards, not just by the police and those in that particular position of authority. It's my experience, the officers I've come across in the years that I've done this job. You're out in public, you meet a lot of people. I think most of them are in it for the right reasons, and most of them try to approach a job the best way they possibly can, you know, and do it, go into it not trying to, you know, subjugate one class of people compared to another. That's my personal experience. I'm not saying that's your personal experience, and I'm not denying that there is a lot of looking for the right word here. There's a lot of evidence that black people have historically and in many specific instances to this day been treated differently, unfairly, what have you. Again, I try to make that clear in my comment. I'm not saying that anyone who's claiming that they've been the victim of discrimination isn't telling the truth. I'm just saying I'm not a firsthand witness to that. I don't deny the mountains of circumstantial evidence. There's something to it. I'm just saying, at the same time, that doesn't mean that every person who's wearing the badge is a bad person.
Right. Don't let the few bad eggs cloud the whole, you know.
And look, maybe if I grew up and I was a black person and I was harassed constantly and got pulled over for driving while black, which I do think has happened, right, historically. I can't speak for this community here or St. Augustine or anyone specifically. Again, I'm not black and I'm not privy to the statistics. A lot of this is anecdotal, but I've heard enough stories to believe that there's something to it, but I can't relate to that experience because I haven't had that experience. I acknowledge your experience and others' experiences. I'm just saying, you know, for every bad police officer who would do something untoward, okay, maybe because they hold a prejudicial view based on the actions of a few people of one segment of society, right? At the same time, I still believe, my belief, and maybe I'm wrong, but my belief is that the vast majority of officers of the law try to do an honorable job. And there are certainly cases where we've seen police departments, you know, being called up. The Los Angeles County Police Department, I believe, was, you know, raked over the coals and justifiably so in the 90s over issues just like this. So, again, I'm not naive. I don't have my head buried in the sand. I'm not trying to dismiss any of the experiences you may have had. I'm just telling you, all I can do is, you know, look at it from my point of view, my personal experience, and I'm aware of everything that's going on out there with the Black Lives Matters movement and everything else. And I think there's a lot of validity to that, but there's also, you know, certainly cases where the rhetoric and things can be taken too far, because not every person who puts on the uniform of a police officer has any ill intention whatsoever, right? There are a lot of honorable people out there, and I just think that they're still in the vast majority. So anyway, that's it. Can we please talk about sports and not cops? Hey, look, it came up. I still want to brush it off, you know? We're talking about sports loosely related anyway with the O.J. Simpson show wrapping up last night. But anyway, that's it. You know, so what else here? A couple more. All right, on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Yes, I'd take a pass rusher at five if I knew they'd produce 40 sacks in 3 years. Probably a lot of people would, right? Even if that, you got 3 years out of this guy, he's going to give you 40 sacks.
3 years and the rest of his career.
And then he's done.
Ooh, I mean, I don't know about that.
If he's Javon Kearse, would you take Javon Kearse's career, basically?
With the fifth pick in the draft? I would.
You would, right? I mean,
I would, yeah.
I think you can reasonably argue both sides of that. Say, well, if you know you're going to get nothing out of this guy after year three, yeah, but you know you're going to get something really good for 3 years. You don't know that with anybody you pick that you're going to get anything good out of these guys.
Right, and it wasn't like Kearse did nothing the last, you know, 10 years of his career.
Mm.
He was getting, he's probably falling into sacks. He had four or five every year, but he was not the guy he was.
Always in and out of the lineup with injuries.
Right.
Right. Here's another annoying draft phrase, deceptively quick. Can we not all agree that swag is the most annoying phrase used to describe how a player carries himself? I think that's a generational thing.
Deceptively quick, though. Let's be honest. Isn't that usually labeled to a white guy?
I guess it could be. Yeah.
It's usually labeled to like a white slot receiver.
Or
right?
If you're just, I guess, a bigger player, you could be deceptively
true,
quick.
True, absolutely. Yeah.
Of anything. But, sir, look, there's no doubt there are code words that get used in there. Surprisingly athletic, right? Joey Bosa is surprisingly athletic. You know, it's just things like that. There's been that whole codified kind of racial undertone to a lot of these things, right? The white player, the white athletes, and this isn't just football. For years, have been, you know, the try hard guys, the guys that exhibit great hustle, great want to, great effort. Where
he's a lunch pail guy.
Where the black athlete is just naturally gifted, and the white guy got by because he works harder.
The white guy knows the system more, of course.
Right, and I mean, it goes back to really, you go back to Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, it probably goes way back beyond that, but just in my lifetime, it's like, do you think Magic Johnson didn't work hard? Do you think Larry Bird wasn't athletically gifted? Are you kidding? On both of those scores? Come on. So, you know, it exists, it's out there. Jalen Ramsey's draft profile, is it chock full of these delightful
gems.
Terms?
There's some gems. This is from the NFL.com draft profile on the weakness section. For Jalen Ramsey, a much better straight line player than lateral athlete, shows hip tightness from press, overreacts with feet to initial moves.
Oh, you can't overreact with your feet.
You got to overreact in other ways.
Yes, I mean, maybe with like your eyes going wide, you know, you get that look in your face like, oh no! But no, you don't overreact with your feet because then you've got to move them back into position.
These next two may be the gems of the whole article. Missing fluid hips to open and run.
Oh, I need to. You have to have fluid hips. How can you be expected to open and run without that? And I get open up. They're just talking about, again, flipping the hips, right? And I understand what they mean. And flip the hips is actually a pretty concise way of putting it.
Right.
How do you get your core facing one way to turn and face the other way as quickly as possible? You got to flip your hips around.
Maybe this is the best one. Would like to see him step downhill harder and after run diagnosis rather than waiting for the play to get to him. He needs to step
in the background.
He needs to step downhill harder.
He step downhill, right? I mean, he needs to attack towards the line of scrimmage is what they're saying. Step downhill harder.
But we'll just say that. Like, it needs to step downhill farther?
Right, well, again,
he needs to run the arc.
They want, you know, you to be a part of the insiders club, the terminology club, and that's, you know, part of the game that gets played, the exclusivity of the whole thing. We will hear some comments coming up from Ramsey, Miles Jack, Joey Bosa, among others, who were in town yesterday meeting collectively with the Jacksonville Jaguar brass. So that's coming up. But also coming up, we've got This Date in Football, the Honda Drive around the NFL. Your call is welcome at 641-1010. Where were you when the O.J. verdict came down? Not the white Bronco chase, but the verdict. And what did you think of the people versus O.J. Simpson? Mike Dempsey, Tyler Devitt here with you. Fat Tony with the day off. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL and a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, This Date in Football History.
Oh, This Date in Football History. Chock full of football history is what it is. Actually, it's chock full of birthdays. Sterling Sharp You remember him as the lesser of the Sharp brothers. Maybe you shouldn't remember him as the lesser of the Sharp brothers. I didn't realize.
I wonder if he hates Jacksonville as much as Shannon does.
I doubt it. You know, he didn't have that same connection to the Broncos, so I'm guessing no. Sterling Sharp won the state in 1965. He's 51 years old. Five-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro. His final season, he was 29 years old and had 18 touchdowns in his final year. And then he retired due to injury and, you know, cut his career short. And I remembered him as a good but not great guy. Maybe I need to reassess. You're 29 years old. You've been to five Pro Bowls, three-time first-team All-Pro. That's pretty damn good. Sterling Sharp, happy 51st. 1973, pair of good but not great linebackers born in the state. Donnie Edwards, longtime Kansas City Chief. Randall Godfrey played with a number of teams, including the Cowboys and the Titans. Both turned 43 years old today. Famous passings on this date. Jackett Cook passed away, former owner of the Washington Redskins, passing away in 1997 at the age of 84. And that's pretty much it for today, Tyler. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, a group of New England Patriots fans have sued the NFL in an effort to recover the first-round draft pick that was taken away from the team as punishment for the Deflategate scandal. The suit was filed Tuesday in federal court in Boston, says the NFL made arbitrary and capricious decisions to revoke the draft pick, even though there is no proof that the team deliberately deflated footballs. The complaint says the league and Commissioner Roger Goodell lied on false premises and biased investigations and untrue facts. And one of the things that
Untrue facts?
Untrue facts.
How is that? There's such a thing as an untrue fact.
That would be a lie.
All right. An untrue fact. All right. That would not be a fact, then, would it?
That's kind of an oxymoron, right?
That's what I'm saying. There's no such thing as an untrue fact, is there?
I've never heard of an untrue fact.
Okay. I'm sorry to mess up your flow. What else did you
moving
have
on. The complaint came from seven fans, including one from Florida. So maybe Super PAC got on it on this
maybe
lawsuit.
Maybe he did. You know what? If they had included the term running the arc in their lawsuit, I think it would have gone over better.
Running the arc. Absolutely. A lot of reaction coming on social media to the Greg Hardy interview yesterday. We talked about that yesterday and how Steve Smith tweeted out, maybe she tripped over the carpet and my mother is a survivor of domestic violence, and he joined Russillo and Cannell yesterday. I want to play this. It's about a two-minute chunk, but it's really good stuff. Steve Smith on the whole domestic violence issue in the National Football League.
Well, you know, honestly, it really wasn't about Greg Hardy, you know, and a lot of people, you know, I think when anyone makes, you know, in the sports world, or if we're running for president, playing football, basketball, whatever sports, or former or applying for a job, a CFO or CEO of a company, and you do interviews, you kind of put yourself there for people to have comments. And so for me, it's less about Greg Hardy, and it's more about since the 2013, over 18,000 women have been murdered by men in domestic violence disputes in the state of North Carolina. And so my mom is a survivor of domestic violence, and I was a kid that experienced and watched my mom be abused. So it was more about these women, the people who are afraid to speak, who don't have the courage to speak, or who have spoken up, and it has been pushed aside. And that's really what my tweet was more about. I have a 14-year-old daughter who I love, and if it was her, what would that say about me as quote-unquote a football player, as a father, as a husband, that I not speak up, that I not say something for her? And so everybody is making it about Greg Hardy, and I'm making it more about these women in Charlotte, these women around the world, and saying something, because at the end of the day, what am I bringing to the table? What do I stand for? My foundation, we support, we're against domestic violence, and we support domestic violence victims. And so it's for me not to just be silent, not to stand there, more bring up the issue of the real issue is the women that are trying to come through domestic violence, that are trying to speak up and are trying to find safe havens and trying to find places and organizations that will support them and be a voice for them.
Again, that was the words of Steve Smith on ESPN Radio's midday show, Russillo and Cannell show.
Shouldn't he stick to sports? What is he doing talking about domestic violence? How dare he talk about something that affects society at large? Stick to sports, Steve.
Stay in your lane, Steve. Come on, Steve.
At actually, great job, Steve
No,
Smith.
Steve, that Seriously. Is awesome. You could tell he's passionate about the topic, and he's been personally affected, so that's great that he's speaking up about a topic that doesn't seem like enough people talk about.
That was the closing, by the way, of the Marsha Clark's closing. After the trial was over, she gave the press conference, then they reenacted it last night, and they said, really, this whole trial has been about domestic violence. Nicole Brown Simpson was a victim of domestic violence, had told others in the days leading up to her death that O.J. was stalking her, feared for her life, and on and on and on, and it just kind of got brushed away to the side. Hopefully, attitudes have changed significantly, still not enough, obviously, based on this Greg Hardy crap. Yesterday, with Adam Schefter saying he seemed like, quote, a changed kind of guy. He denied that he put his hands on her. What did he change from? He said he's made some mistakes, but those pictures, oh, they're fake. That's basically what he said. Those pictures, all those bruises, they're fake. He also had the line, there are situations with the situation that have nothing to do with the situation. Huh? What? But he's kind of a changed kind of guy because he sat down for an interview with me. So
that was the weird part is because you could see Adam Schefter getting visibly frustrated talking to Greg Hardy. He goes, oh, well, there's pictures of Nicole Holder's arms being bruised. How do you explain that? And he said it just like that, as if he was personally mad that this guy couldn't explain himself.
And then he goes on Dan Patrick and says, yeah, I kind of felt like he's a changed guy.
How can you be mad at him giving you bad answers and then say he sounded changed to you? I don't know about that. Two more quick stories here, Mike. The Denver Broncos say they are aware of a video that shows defensive end Derek Wolfe throwing a punch in a Denver nightclub Saturday night. The video posted by TMZ on its website shows Wolfe having a brief verbal exchange and then just throwing a punch. Can't really tell if it landed. TMZ also reports that Wolfe was later bloodied in the altercation after being hit by possibly a bottle on the nightclub. So not good stuff for Derek Wolfe, who just signed a contract, by the way.
Yeah, Derek Wolfe, stick to football. Not nightclubs. That's not sports, okay? So that's what's getting you in trouble here. I think we have a theme going today. My first reaction as a Bronco fan would probably be, how's your hand? Sorry, just being honest. All right, last story. What do you got?
Last story, quick one here. Dolphins claim cornerback Ifo Ekpere-Olamu from waivers from the Browns. You'll remember he was probably considered one of the top defensive backs coming out of the draft last year. But then during practice, gearing up towards the national championship game, tore his ACL, absolutely shattered his knee. It may have shattered his hopes for his career, but he's getting a second chance now. He will join the Miami Dolphins.
He seemed like a guy somebody would take a chance on because he was so highly rated before he got hurt. He was a first-round draft pick type guy, and he's still incredibly, incredibly young. But the fact that he's already free to be claimed off of waivers.
Has not played a game yet. Just was doing rehab all last year.
Right, but you invest in this guy, you bring him in, he rehabs under your umbrella, he's cut loose. I just think that... You know.
Yeah, he said he was about 100% middle March, about early April. So right about this time, he's just now getting to 100%. So it'll be interesting. He's not a very big guy, only 5'9", 195, doesn't have the greatest speed. So then you give this injury and put that into perspective. It could be a little hazy for him, but it's good to see he gets a second chance.
All right, should we do audio now? Should we do audio upcoming? Let's do audio upcoming. Tyler Devitt just gave me the signal for audio upcoming. Okay? It looked like picture a pair of hands grasping a pile of sticks and snapping them. That's the international symbol for break, because we're breaking something, right? Got to break. All right, we'll come back. Here's what we're going to squeeze into the next action-packed segment on Jaguars Today. Many social issues will not be discussed, but we will hear audio from a little bit from Joey Bosa, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, Vernon Hargraves, who are visiting with the Jags yesterday. This is courtesy of Jags.com. Again, we encourage you to listen to their interviews in their entirety at Jaguars.com. Also, I got a trio of hot off the presses mock drafts that we'll get into as well. That's coming up in a moment. 641-1010 is the number. We'll check in on the text line as well, driven by Duval Ford, where they keep coming in. Remember the game of telephone, Tyler? When you ever play that when you're a kid?
Where you pass a message and it kind of the message goes away?
You sit in a circle
away.
The message. Right. You can say, I ate a banana sandwich for breakfast.
Chinese telephone.
By the time it comes back to you, it's something completely different, right? Someone said, I saw on ESPN this morning that Roger Goodell emailed all Jaguars season ticket holders this weekend and told them there is a, quote, realistic chance that the Jaguars could support an NFL team in London. Grr, when is his tenure up? Okay. No. Okay, this is where you hear something that you think you heard, and he said in a town hall meeting last week with some Jaguars season ticket holders, that, and the transcript of which was sent out by the Jags, that It is realistic to think that London could have an NFL franchise one day. Not that the Jags could support an NFL team in London. And nothing to do with the Jaguars, ostensibly. Doesn't mean you know, whatever. You conspiracy theorists, go ahead. He had said nothing about the Jags. He just said it's realistic to think, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the point was realistic to think that it could be an NFL franchise, a permanent one in London one day. Roger Goodell did not personally email Jaguars season ticket holders to tell them that. You're around the fringes of the story, but this is how something goes off the rails quickly. Next thing you know, it's on a message board. Next thing you know, it becomes canon for conspiracy theorists.
The message gets lost in translation. Speaking of Goodell, did you by chance ever check out the video, the 23-minute video of the town hall on Jags.com?
I got to say, I have not watched a 23-minute video.
He opens
Roger
it up
Goodell.
With some kind words to Jacksonville, and he actually mentions that he met his wife here in Jacksonville.
God bless her. Okay? God bless her. It's good for her. I hope they have a wedded bliss for many, many more years to come. Healthy and happy lives. That's all I have to say about that. We'll come back. We'll get into some more draft goodies next with Tyler Devin. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Whoa, I'm balling, so I'm taking my time on my right.
I'm a lockdown corner. I'm an impact player. You know, I can make plays. I can take away other team's best player. And I can get you points on defense.
It's going to take that other player away, and you'll never hear from them again. That's Vernon Hargraves yesterday visiting with the Jags. I guess he's visiting at the time with the Jaguars.com guys, Brian Sexton, J.P. Shadrick, and the like. Visiting with the Jags yesterday, along with a number of his highly coveted cohorts.
Did you know, y'all, yesterday was an interesting day because 1 year ago yesterday was when they brought in that huge group of guys, which included Dante Fowler, their eventual number one draft pick.
That's right. It was 1 year ago yesterday, huh?
Correct.
1 year ago today, I gave my wife some nice diamond earrings for our 25th anniversary.
Nice guy.
Yes. Today's our 26th anniversary. She kissed me for the first time. I kissed her. We kissed each other 26 years ago today, April 6th, and the earth moved for all. It was fantastic. Love you, baby. All right. That's Vernon Hargraves yesterday. Says he's a lockdown corner. Here's Joey Bosa. Says if you want to improve the defense, the Jaguars should take him.
Coach told me defense was struggling last year, so obviously need some help on the pass rushing standpoint. 29th in the passing defense last year, overall defense. So if you want a better defense, bring in the best pass rusher in the nation.
Bruh.
You will love his next answer when he was asked about Jacksonville and his thoughts before coming to Jacksonville.
All right, let's get to that, and then we'll comment. Here's Joey Bosa, thoughts on Jacksonville before he got here.
I've actually never been to Jacksonville before. I was convinced it was in the middle of the state, actually. I didn't know it was on the coast. So, pleasant surprise coming here.
It's on the coast.
It's fun, bruh.
Bruh. Joey Bosa said, I heard your defense stunk last year. By the way, bring me in. Very impressive. 29th, I think, right? Is that right? You're going to see him kind of looking off to the side. Can I get confirmation? Can I get a thumbs up from Shadrick on that? Yes, 29th worst.
All Joey right. Bosa just strikes me as a guy who would be content with going to any city in America and playing football.
You sure you're not in Orlando, man? What are you doing all the way up here in the
and
Northeast?
And he's from Miami, right? How do you not know where Jackson
is? Is Bosa from Miami?
I think, yeah, he's a Lauderdale guy. He's a Lauderdale guy, and he doesn't know where Jacksonville is? Has he not looked at a map of Florida?
Maybe not. You know, they say Americans are bad with our geography. I'm stereotyping us as a group now. Am I allowed to do that?
You've done it to cops all morning.
I have not. You shut your damn mouth, all right? I'm stereotyping no such person, all right? That out. I know, but, I know you're kidding, and if you're listening to the whole program, you get it. But if you just tuned in 30 seconds ago, you're like, what? What the hell's he doing? No. I'm just stereotyping all of us as Americans. We're bad on the geography. At least that's what we're told. All right, Miles Jack. What are Miles Jack's impressions of the Jaguars?
I love the facility, everything. It's newer than a lot of facilities I've been to, and just kind of the whole vibe of the coaching staff and everybody here. I really like it. I really dig it. So I'm excited.
Right, now we can start figuring out who he's visited based on that. Well, wait a minute. It's not newer than the Palace in Dallas, right? I think what that is a testament to the improvements that they're doing at the stadium. It's not a new facility, but they're making it seem like a new facility with some of the enhancements. This is why Miles Jack thinks the Jaguars need to draft him.
They need to draft Miles Jack because Miles Jack is going to come in. He's going to be an impact player. He's going to work hard. He's going to represent Jacksonville to the fullest. And he's going to give it everything he has. And he's excited to be a part of this young up-and-coming team with the offense they have and, you know, the pieces you guys are putting on defense. I feel like I'll be the perfect fit.
Joey Bosa was heard saying, bruh, I drafted that Miles Jack guy.
I love Miles Jack talking to third person, as JJ pointed out.
Miles Jack.
I'm going to use this drop.
They need to draft Miles Jack.
Over and over again.
They need to draft Miles Jack.
Yeah, why not? I'm with that. Miles, welcome aboard. And by the way, Joey Bosa, welcome aboard. If you're the pick too, brah, I'd be more than happy. Just do your job, all right?
We'll go surfing.
I don't care where Jack. You can move Jacksonville if you need to. Don't move it far, you know, like maybe 5 miles, something like that. We don't want anybody to have to make a tough commute to the games. But, you know, just show up and get to the quarterback. That's the important thing. Jalen Ramsey on what he thinks he would bring to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jalen Ramsey brings the best player in this draft, the most versatile player, a guy who can come in immediately and play corner or safety or nickel, make an impact on the team, have a very successful year and career, and he's going to work hard and elevate my teammates as well.
Tyler, what does Tyler Devitt bring to the Jaguars today team?
You know, Tyler Devitt is just a guy that's very creative, always willing to be first in, first out, gritty, knows the system well. Not very good at flipping my hips, though.
JJ, thumbs up, thumbs down on the first in, first out part. first in? Has anybody checked his time card? What in the hell? All right, Jalen Ramsey. By the way, all this, again, audio courtesy of Jaguars.com. Much more extensive stuff with a variety of prospects. Go there. We know you do anyway. Go there. Listen in. And by the way, .com live today. Blake Bortles on Jaguars.com live.
BB5. He'll be
big
there.
Big day. Big day for BB5. And Ramsey, Jalen, says he is a unique player.
I think I'm very unique because I can do a lot of different things. I can play a lot of different positions. So with respective positions, I watch a lot of Darrell Revis and Pat Peed and Earl Thomas and Teron Matthew. Whoever comes across me, I don't shy down the competition at all. And, you know, I'm just ready.
You found Jalen Ramsey to be the most compelling of them, just in terms of what he had to say overall.
Pat Peed.
You agree with that? Would you say that's fair assessment?
I think he's very well spoken. He's very confident in himself, and he also addressed himself in the third person, so I can appreciate that.
Yeah, see, he did address himself in the third person, brah. So there you have it. Who's in today? Tunsil's in today.
Tunsil's in today. DeForest Buckner is in today.
Buckner.
Von Bell is in. Leonard Floyd. Who else am I missing here? Ryan Kelly, the Alabama
J-Ron
center.
Jaron Curse.
Ryan also
Kelly,
in today.
That's a new one.
Ryan Kelly, the Alabama center. Do you think he'll be available possibly in the second round?
Possibly, man. We don't know.
Nothing's happened, and he just seems to keep moving up in mock drafts.
He does move up in mock drafts. I think what happens is when you got the consensus, guy at a position, then you start trying to slot, okay, who might need a center? All right, well, if they do, maybe they'll go Ryan Kelly here. I don't know. I've seen him anywhere in the top 50, but you're right, does seem to be moving up. Here's some of the latest on the mock draft scene right now. The boys on the drill were talking about Kuiper's fourth edition out. If you're an ESPN insider, you can read all the commentary to your heart's content. Let's go through the top 10 quickly here. He's got Tunsil 1, Carson Wentz going to the Browns, Jalen Ramsey going to the Chargers, Joey Bosa going to Dallas. Oh, bro, I thought Dallas was much further south. Miles Jack coming to Jacksonville. This guy just makes you better on the defensive side of the ball. Says Mel, the game comes so easy to him. And while we say it often, his ability to cover almost anyone with a legit linebacker frame is where he really stands out. Draft him. Expect him to start right away.
Done. You can draft Miles Jack.
Yes, yes. Ezekiel Elliott going to the Ravens. Starting to see a little speculation there, right? You got Justin Forsett is 30 years old. Who's the guy? Why can't I think of his name? Buck Allen out of USC last year. Did okay.
Javorius
Buck Allen, right. Jared Goff, he's got to the 49ers, the other top 10 QB. DeForest Buckner going to the Eagles. Ronnie Stanley going to the Bucks. Steal. Everybody be staying steal. Look, you're going to have to take 9 guys in the top 9.
Ronnie Stanley was also one of the guys that
he
was here yesterday.
Yes.
He was on the Jags.com. His video's out there. You can go check it out. We didn't grab any clips. But one thing that stood out to me, he was asked, hey, with your first big paycheck in the NFL, what are you going to go buy?
Uh-oh.
Most guys would say, I'm going to go, you know, take care of my mom. I'm going to go buy her a house. I'm going to go buy a car. Ronnie Stanley said, I'm going to go buy some groceries. I'm going to fill up my gas tank. And I'm going to take care of the expenses and the necessary things. So he thinks he's only probably getting like $400 or $500 to play
good.
Professional
That's
football.
How you should act.
That's good.
Good for you, Ronnie Stanley. Ronnie Stanley is a Notre Dame guy. And I'm going to stereotype Notre Dame guys. I've yet to meet one that wasn't very smart. Honestly, a football player that's played at Notre Dame that wasn't pretty damn smart guy. So, you know, academic standards and all apparently mean something at some places. Doom, by the way, is throwing shade in your general direction.
Yeah, I'm not having that. No.
First in all caps, question mark. I beat Tyler to the station last time, and he also says Noah Spence is here today. So, Doom, our Jaguar draft insider, Duval Doom, breaking it down for you. Pro Football Focus has one that's fun. I think it's fun because after the first couple rounds, you can take a nap, man, and you go to bed feeling pretty good. Miles Jack with the fifth pick. The draft, the write-up from Pro Football Focus, who had Ramsey, Goff going number two, DeForest Buckner, and then Bosa. So they had Ramsey number one overall, but Bosa and Ramsey off the board. Miles Jack, the pick, according to Pro Football Focus. The draft continues its theme of playmaking options on the defense, with our top coverage linebacker from 2014. Before his injury early in 2015, Jack showed improvement against the run as he was jacking up blockers and disrupting opposing running backs. His coverage, versatility, athleticism, and willingness against the run make him a future superstar candidate. Now, here's where you start to win the draft, I think, if you're the Jags. Too risky in the first round. By the way, they've got Ryan Kelly going 35th overall, just to note.
And Jags are at 38 in the second round?
Jags are at 38. They had Nick Martin. Who did we have saying the Jags might take Nick Martin yesterday? Where did Nick Martin come into the conversation? He certainly did. It was in some kind of mock draft, something or other, because they had him.
Was he in the third round of Josh Norris's?
Was he in the third? Or maybe he was in the third. No, I think he was the second round of Josh Norris's, I think is what it was. You're absolutely right. At Roto-World. Anyway. So he's off the board as well. Jags take Robert Kimdichie, defensive tackle out of Ole Miss, according to Pro Football Focus, with the 38th pick. Sign me up right now. All right. I'll take it. All you got to do is get him a windowless apartment to start, right? That's the ground floor. You're going to start there. And after that, you got a guy who's potentially the top player in the draft in some people's eyes, you know, potential athleticism, all the nice things. You got to pay off. It's worth the risk to me at 38. Another wild card in the draft, says Pro Football Focus. Kimdichie struggles against power in the running game and may be effective playing as an early down, defensive end. He's explosive off the ball as a pass rusher. Check. And he adds yet another movable chess piece on the revamped Jacksonville defensive front. I like it. Give me a movable chess piece. D-tackle, D-end. Want to play a little bit of both. Because ultimately, I mean, you can... Could you see maybe three seasons from now a Malik Jackson, Robert Kimdichie pairing on the interior of the Jaguars defensive line? Mm. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, right?
A little Dante Fowler action on the other side.
All right, a little Dante Fowler going into his, and after his next three seasons, he'll have 40 something sacks, I believe. Isn't that what you predicted earlier, Tyler?
Right.
Yes, sure. And then we go to the third round, and at that point, you're like, it's all gravy because we've got Miles Jack and Robert Kimdichie. But the Jags take Cyrus Jones, cornerback, out of Alabama.
Cyrus Jones was a dynamic return guy last year, wasn't he?
Let me tell you what PFF said about it. They said adding even more pieces to the defense, Jones could play outside or in the slot, and his plus 7.0 coverage grade ranked 13th in the class. So there you have it. You know, we've got a pretty good return guy here, but bring another one. You wonder, our kickoff returns, what's going to happen with them this year with the touchback? Bringing that to the 25. You would think there would be a few more kneel downs take place on the long ones, but our kicker's going to be trying to angle that kickoff so it comes down, you know, outside the hash marks, inside the 5-yard line, and force a return, and anything tackled short of the 25 is a win.
So almost the direct result would be more returns, possibly.
Possibly. They're going to study that, of course. And then, finally, the National Football Post has their 2016 NFL mock draft, first one of the season. Greg Gabriel heads it up, and he says right off the top, not a fan of mock drafts. All right? That's fine. He worked in the Bears scouting department. I think he's the Bears director of college scouting for a while. He's been in the scouting business for like 30 years. So he's got some chops in the business here.
I hope he didn't scout Rex Grossman, because that was...
Oh, good call, right? I don't know the time frame when he was in there. Let's give him credit for how about Walter Payton instead.
He was pretty good.
Let's hope that was the case. He went with Tunsil to the Titans, check. Carson Wentz to the Browns. If it's a QB right now, I'd guess Goff over Wentz, but I don't know. Then Ramsey going to the Chargers. He's got Jared Goff going to the Dallas Cowboys. So the Jags have their choice of Miles Jack or Joey Bosa, according to Greg Gabriel. So what do? They take Vernon Hargraves III. according to Greg Gabriel. See, here's the comment that it's going to throw. Every Jag fan's going to crumple this one up mentally and throw it out, because the first thing he says is the Jags like to stay in-state when they make their top selection.
They do?
Just, well, they drafted Fowler and Bortles. Okay, so they, you know, are you telling me Fowler was a reach? Wasn't a reach? You tell me Bortles? I mean, Bortles was the top quarterback on their board. He went to UCF. Do you think they wouldn't have drafted him had he gone to, I don't know, name the other school out there that's comparable to UCF? Who would that be? I don't know.
Yeah, Memphis would be a good
South
choice.
Florida. That's
Memphis,
in the state.
USF?
Somewhere. You know, so, right. I mean, well, I'm just trying to find something outside the state. But anyway, he says, the Jags like to stay in state when they make their top selection. This year, they're basically getting two top five picks, as last year's first-round pick, Dante Fowler, hasn't played yet. This year, Fowler's teammate helps shore up the secondary. Okay. I mean, I think they're going out of their way to draft Gators, you know? I mean, or, right? I mean, if they do draft Hargraves, it's not because, well, damn, he played in the state, you know? He's going to be used to the heat, right?
Well, we had Josh Evans, former Gator, so of course we like Gators.
At least I'm suspecting Vernon Hargraves, having played here in the city, knows the general geographic location of the city of Jacksonville. That is a plus. Maybe. I don't know. Just know where the quarterback is if you're Joey Bosa. You don't need to know where the city is. Just somebody pick him up, okay? We'll get him a driver. We'll get him to the stadium. Go hunt quarterbacks. But Hargraves, how would the Hargraves pick be received with Miles Jack and Joey Bosa both on the board? I'm thinking not well.
I don't think fans would be happy about that one.
No, and ultimately, like, if Hargraves is the pick, if those other three are off the board, I think not everybody will be unanimously in favor of him. People say, all right, well, you know, he's in that conversation of the handful of guys we liked in that next tier of players. Stinks that we missed out on the top guys. I don't know. I just think there are some good corners in this draft. I don't see them going for Vernon Hargraves or any other corner. Now, unless you consider Ramsey a corner, Ramsey is a little bit more of a versatile piece. With the exception of Ramsey, I don't see him going defensive back there with the choice of either Bosa or Jack.
Now, a really good cornerback who's probably not going to go in the first round is Mackenzie Alexander, a guy who had no career picks. Does that concern you, or is that a guy that would possibly be there for the Jags in round two at 38, and with the no picks, is that something that's going to be a huge red flag on his?
Here's one. Mackenzie Alexander, same draft we're talking about here, National Football Post, goes 25th overall to Pittsburgh. I've seen him actually mock to the Jags in the second round in some drafts. It's got to be a little concerning, doesn't it? I guess the argument's going to be, well, if he's a top corner, they stay away from him. I'd have to look at how many times he was targeted in the passing game. How many times, you know, does he get his hands on the ball and not bring it in? Because, you know, you do want to have playmakers on that side of the football. You're allowed to catch that ball and run the other way with it. Jags didn't do enough of that last year, but when Devon House got his hands on the ball, generally would bring it in, and those are good plays to have. But, yeah, that would concern – it's got to concern you a little bit. Why – let's get to the bottom of this. Why don't you have any interceptions in your collegiate career? I know T-Week loves him some Mackenzie Alexander. All right, that'll do it for that. Moving on, we'll go to the fan feedback spotlight, which today asked you, do you remember where you were when the O.J. not guilty verdict came down? Not the white Bronco chase, and, you know, we've been commenting on the people versus O.J. Simpson a little
bit
today.
I'm O.J.
Oh, you're Cuba. Is it Cuba or Cuba? It used to be Cuba, but everyone called him Cuba because they didn't know it was Cuba, and then, like, he changed to Cuba. And then he kind of went back because he's like, ah, screw it.
Well, when we were at Super Bowl with Cuba Gooding Jr. was there doing some Jamie Foxx radio for Sirius, and everyone was calling him Cuba.
So were they calling him Cuba?
I'd go with Cuba.
I've gone with Cuba ever since Boys in the Hood back in the day. I thought it was Cuba. That's what I'm going to stick with. I don't know. Show me the money, Rod Tidwell. Coming back, fan feedback spotlight is a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, industrial, you name it, any size job. Metro Rooter, same day service, weekends included. The right people with the right equipment, serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor at Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, final however many minutes of Jaguars Today this morning. We got XL Primetime coming up, and they're all in the house, baby. They're ready to go, champing at the bit.
They got here early. They're ready to go.
Joe C. has been in there breaking down video, draft terms. He is scouting for everyone and ready to go, ready to break it down with the crew. coming up in about 15 minutes or so.
By the way, no salad for Hacker today. He went with the Subway sandwich.
That was not a salad he had on.
It was really more
Beef's
of a soup.
Twitter picture. It was definitely a sriracha soup is what that is. Sriracha and ranch, and he layers it in there good, man. And you see, like the chicken, you could see the chicken because it's like he dropped that in last after he ranched and sriracha'd it up. And
it looked more like a buffalo chicken platter than it did a salad.
The lettuce is just like a binding ingredient, you know. It's kind of like a clotting agent, right, to kind of hold it all together so your sriracha doesn't go running off into the corner of the bowl. It just kind of has to have something to cling to, I think, is Hacker's idea of how you make a salad. Someone on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, said, I never knew, and this is based on the People versus O.J. Simpson, the miniseries, I guess you could call it, just wrapped up last night. I never knew Robert Shapiro walked up and tried on the glove during a recess before O.J. did. Is this true? And what was the point of wearing latex underneath the evidence that was already processed? A, I thought that was a fascinating aspect, too. I'm going to assume that happened because that it would be such a big leap as to why they would put that in there. But in the show, Robert Shapiro, who was the first lead attorney until Johnny Cochran kind of was hired and took over, went up, just kind of wandered up to the evidence table, and there was the bloody glove, and he's just trying to pull it on his hand, and he's like, I can't get this thing on, and nobody's watching this?
That can't be legal, right?
I'm not saying it's legal.
Tampering of evidence?
Quote, illegal, because the evidence is already been processed, right?
True.
You're not, I don't know, but, I mean, it was pretty brilliant. It was a really key point, because they were still on the fence.
It's very bold.
Do we have him try it on? Do we not have him try it on? As far as the latex underneath, this is my guess, okay? 1994-95, not as advanced in our understanding of things like AIDS, right, and HIV. And they're coming out of the 80s, man, people were terrified of HIV. And I just wonder if it was as much, hey, we're putting a latex glove on because I don't want to get other people's blood on my hands, right? Dried blood or not. I think that was more, not that he was going to contaminate the glove, but that the glove could contaminate, quote unquote, contaminate him, right? Kind of thing. Like, would you want to put it this way? If someone was wearing a glove and murdered somebody, it was covered with the victim's blood. Would you want to put that on your hand? If you didn't do it, theoretically, you're OJ's case and you're professing that you're innocent. I don't think they could compel you to have that be on your hand, right? So they had the latex glove, which was obvious. And even one of the jurors they showed last night, and we don't know what the deliberations were like. I don't think we know every detail, but she's like, ah, come on. He was spreading his fingers out. He's trying to make it look like he couldn't get the glove on. They weren't buying the glove as like the sole piece of the evidence.
Now, I'm a young and naive 23-year-old boy. And if Chris Darden didn't decide to do the gloves right there and have OJ do it, do you think he...
Possibly. I mean, possibly he gets it because it led to Johnny Cochran's, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Just on and on and on, just hammering that point. And he was talking about the glove, but he's talking about any one piece of evidence. And whether that is reasonable doubt or just doubt, which they discussed last night as well, is it reasonable that any little question you have makes you throw out all this evidence? Maybe not. But anyway, let me get to a few more of these replies or some of these replies. Question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. Where were you when the verdict came down? Do you remember the moment when the verdict was announced on the text line driven by Duval Ford? Unfortunately, I was in prison, and the majority of the population was yelling, the juice is loose across the compound. I hope you have changed your ways, and I hope you are a productive member of society now. Daniel on Facebook said, I was in high school Spanish class. A girl in the class had a friend page her. Keep in mind, this is pre-cell phone days with the verdict. When it came back as not guilty, we were all a little stunned. Damon said, I was at work. Chad Cox, I was at school during the verdict, which was awesome because all the teachers were locked in and really didn't try to teach much that day. Joshua said, I had no idea. I was maybe 6 or 7, probably holed up in my room playing with Star Wars action figures, looking over my POG collection. 7 years old, you're like in what? You're like in second grade, right?
Yeah.
Right? So then we go to Derek, who said, I was in second grade. They marched us all into the hall so the teachers could watch it on TV. So clear. I mean, this was a phenomena at the time. And I don't doubt that that happened in a lot of classrooms, happened in the college classroom I happen to be in at the time. Let's see, DC Kyle on Twitter, in first grade, probably oblivious to who O.J. Simpson even was. Who else? Duval Doom said, same place I was when they announced we were getting the Jags, the student union at Georgia Southern, same television even. Art class at James Walden Johnson Middle School in sixth grade said, Adam Rothstein announced it over the school intercom. How about that?
Wow, on the school announcement?
Yeah, like, I mean, it was such a, everyone was talking about him. It was everywhere. You couldn't get away from it. It's the first really televised trial that you had, like, wall-to-wall televised. Court TV became the OJ channel. It made Court TV. It became a thing that you had to have on your cable system because of the OJ trial.
And everyone has their own opinion, it seems like. Anyone?
And then everyone associated with the trial went to work for Court TV. All Marsha Clark was working for.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
I mean, you know, they all were, you know, talking heads at some point or another. Marsha Clark and Johnny Cochran and Darden and probably a few others. Even Mark Furman. Mark Furman was a Fox News guy for a number of years.
I wonder if Mark Furman's getting some bad feedback and criticism. Some nasty letters.
I don't
so
know.
Say.
I don't know if he gets any more now than he did then.
Well, there are a lot of people that didn't know.
When he's throwing the N-word around left and right on tape and lying about it.
Well, I mean, look at my case. There are probably a lot of people that didn't really know who Mark Furman was before the series.
Good point. Good point. Let's see. Michael Martin said, at school, 11th grade. Wow, that was a long time ago. Tell me about it, bro. Eric said, I was in school. It was announced on the PA. Some loved it. Others didn't. Hashtag Jaguars today. T-Mock, fourth grade science class. See, everybody, all the kids, were getting to watch our justice system at work. Ms. Clements turned on the TV so we could watch. Hashtag Jaguars today. There's another one, draft terms we were talking about this morning. Crazy draft term. Great vision. Does that mean you're better than 2020 vision? Maybe. Vision to diagnose. Let's see. Slaving away in preschool trying to conquer the ABCs, said Cody, Lord of the Jaguar. Josh said, I was in journalism class my high school sophomore year. We stopped class, went into another classroom that had a TV to watch the verdict. I mean, it came back so quick, too. It's like they went to deliberate, and they're coming back at lunch or right after lunch. My buddy Javon, who I worked with at Sirius, my dorm room at Hampton University, building erupted with cheers, a traditionally black school. I mean, it was divided. Certainly, there were people on either side. There were, you know, people of whatever color on both sides, but pretty strongly divided down racial lines on the outcome of the verdict. Let's see. I was being released after spending the night in the brig at NAS Jack, said Black Dog Express. For shame, for shame. And on it goes. So I found most people did, and a lot of people, obviously. Even Stoff. Stoff was here in Mandarin back in the day. He was in seventh grade at Mandarin Middle School. Hashtag Atomic Hawk.
I got one from Burton PVB here on the Duval Ford text line. He said, hey, Mike, do you remember the Hertz rental car ad where OJ was running through the airport with a briefcase in hand, jumping seats in the gate area, and the old ladies were chanting, go, OJ, go?
Yes, absolutely. And I think he jumped a luggage rack at some point during one of those commercials back in the day. No question about it. I think was it Dingo Boots that he did, like, print ads for? I remember them in comic books when I was a kid. I'm not kidding you. JJ's laughing at me. I remember something about a Dingo Boots print ad for OJ. He did tons of stuff back then. He was huge. Let's see. News report. This is from somebody on the text line as well, driven by Duval Ford. News report said Johnny Cochran had OJ take a pill that made his hand swell. Blood or any liquid will shrink a glove. Certainly it has the ability. I mean, all those things were factoring. Like, how dumb were they? You can see the gloves, like, shriveled up. It's not going to fit on anyone's hand who was originally able to wear it. Now you throw a freaking rubber glove on his hand on top of that, and you got a guy who has every reason to not have it fit, and you basically let him testify. Hey, it doesn't fit, doesn't fit. Hey, everybody, it doesn't fit. Yeah. Hey, shut up. You're not allowed to testify. Take the stand. Let me cross-examine you. So, anyway, that's the way it goes for today. So I enjoyed it. Again, it was more like a walk down a not-too-distant memory lane. I mean, it was 21 years ago, and People versus O.J. Simpson, I'm sure they took some artistic liberties with it. So if you really are learning about it for the first time, if you're a ute like Tyler Devitt, maybe research some of the actual facts of the case. Make sure they line up with it. But pretty entertaining television.
And now he's currently locked up where, in Nevada?
It's where he got convicted, right, in Las Vegas. I assume he's somewhere in some Nevada prison.
Lovelock, Nevada.
Is that where he is?
Lovelock Correctional Center.
Didn't when there's some stories recently or some at some point where he was getting, like, preferential, having Super Bowl parties or something like that? No, I'm not kidding you. In his cell. Like, he had a television. They're throwing Super Bowl parties in his cell. He's watching the game. I'm not saying, like, in the last year or something. I seem to recall sometime since he got locked up in Nevada that became a thing. You hear those kind of stories from time to time.
Yeah, I just did a quick Google search, and here's headlines. O.J. Simpson held Super Bowl party in prison cell. He's serving a 30.
I think JJ thinks I make everything I say up because he's laughing like, no way, man, that didn't happen. No way, that couldn't have happened. Yes, Super Bowl party for
33-year sentence, and he's thrown Super Bowl parties.
There you go. The juice, man. He's got the juice. That's why he is the juice. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Metro Rooter tomorrow. We're going to try to be back over at Everbank. Mike DeRocco going to join us from ESPN, embedded Jaguar reporter. So we'll talk D-Rock on the Jags is what we'll do. And, yes, I do remember the Seinfeld episode with Kramer. Many. Jackie Childs was the Johnny Cochran of Seinfeld. He was fantastic. So there you have it. I'm proud. And this one, to cap it all off, I'm proud to say my cousin, who's a former judge in Las Vegas, was the one to sentence O.J. Simpson. Why didn't you call it earlier? We could have a lot of fun with that today. So there you have it from the unnamed in the 904 area code on the text line driven by Duval Ford. That does it. Thanks again to Metro Rooter, all of you for listening out there, even when we sometimes stray from pure sports straight down the line. It happens from time to time, but you won't catch me breaking down WrestleMania. At least there's that. For Tyler Devitt, for Fat Tony, and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. XL Primetime is next on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.